Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The injury count from the Marathon bombings is now more than 200 people. But hundreds more people at the site of the blasts, even though physically unharmed, were profoundly affected. WBUR's Lynn Joliker visited a law firm on Boylston Street today where one of the partners and some of his employees described the lingering emotional effects from a day that had started as a celebration and ended with them unable to return to their office for more than a week.
Almost every day last week, I tried to come back. There was something comforting. I just needed to be near here where all this happened. I can't describe it to you. And yet each time I approached the area, I had a pit in my stomach.
Boylston Street is much more than a workplace now for attorney Paul McKinsey. After 2 decades of working in the area, April 15th left him bonded to the place, to the people, in a very different way.
We were having the time of our lives that day.
It's an annual tradition for McKinsey and his firm, watching the Boston Marathon from their offices 5 floors up, not far from the finish line. And he says this year at first seemed different, better, in some intangible way.
It was just a special day. It, in a freaky, kind of strange way, it was so alive and beautiful, and the sun was shining. It was almost too good to be true, I guess, if you look at it in retrospect.
He and his partner, Richard Sawin, had, as in years past, auctioned off a marathon party in their office at a charity event. So there were 10 people here because of that. There were other friends from around the state and a client visiting from Florida. There was food, wine, cocktails, fresh air, and the sound of cheering coming through the wide-open windows. Then 8 of them left the party and headed outside, 2 doors down to Atlantic Fish. They were standing at a cocktail table by the entrance to the terrace, eating appetizers, when the first bomb exploded.
What the hell was that? Oh, my God. Something blew up. Something blew up.
One of McKinsey's friends was videotaping runners on her cell phone when the violence erupted.
We all looked at each other like, what is this? And then in a matter of seconds, the second bomb goes off, and the words were, oh, my God, this is real. And then it was absolute pandemonium.
The second blast happened just 20 feet away from them.
And the pressure wave my wife and I were nauseous the whole day because we couldn't get our equilibrium back. But she started, screaming, Emily, my daughter. So we ran in to Atlantic Fish.
Their first thoughts went to their 13-year-old daughter. Was she still inside where they left her? Would there be more explosions? Last they knew, she was tending to the 8-month-old baby of one of the firm's associates, Franz Lepianka, who was also now outside with them. He, too, just wanted to find his baby and his wife.
We had to go through the actual site of the blast, and there are definitely images that stay with me, and one of the most poignant images was just a man holding a child. A part of me doesn't really want to process those images at this time, so.
He is fairly certain he saw 8-year-old Martin Richard, who died. The client friend up from Miami was right there, too, and is now haunted by the images. He has since returned to Florida, and McKinsey says he's receiving counseling.
I worry about him because he's all alone. The further you get out, although there's clearly an appreciation for what we went through up here, until you are in the thick of something like that, truly, there's no one he can relate to daily.
Who experienced it.
Correct, not on a personal, face-to-face level because...
Who experienced it either first person or even just as a community.
Exactly right.
McKinsey says his wife is also struggling. She's a teacher, and he says being with her first graders every day is helping. His sister is a surgical nurse. She's questioning her leaving the scene, he says, wondering if she should have stayed and helped. McKinsey says the whole party regrouped upstairs at the law firm. Then police evacuated them, and they ran all the way to Cambridge. Priscilla Buckley, McKinsey's assistant, was among them.
A lot of good came out of this in people. We all stuck together. Everybody made sure everybody was okay, and it was a good feeling in that sense.
But Buckley says she now jumps at all kinds of noises. She's angry about what happened. And then there's the guilt for being okay, for going about her business, while so many people are suffering.
I feel selfish for, being here. It's kind of an odd feeling. I guess I never felt that way. I feel bad for the people, and I walked down the street yesterday for the first time, and I was just crying.
McKinsey understands those feelings of guilt to be so close yet unharmed.
Just a short walk, you know, our home here, two doors down, and here we are at Atlantic Fish, and we'd make this walk every day.
He says he hopes to gather again in the coming days with his group from Marathon Day at Atlantic Fish, which is still cleaning up and refurbishing to reopen. He hopes they can share their feelings, which they're all writing down. And he says he now feels like a brother to all of those who were there.
When I see the people that were with me, it's not even a handshake, it's a hug. I wonder if I'm going to stop hugging them. They might shoo me away at some point, but I can't help but feel that closeness. I don't think there's anything I wouldn't do for these people.
They shared a survival experience like no other, he says. And for him, sharing, talking, and hugging is the only way to cope. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.